Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 3rd of September 2021, Friday before a three-day weekend. Hopefully you get the three-day weekend. Hopefully you're in a place where you can enjoy the three-day weekend. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Programming note on Monday's show, since it's a holiday, I will be running the interview I did with Paul in China again. I found it fascinating. So Paul in China again on Monday. So look forward to that. Don't forget about the Curse program. Helping the program, helping this show, helping me, since I'm the only one. Even the cats sleep through my recording of this. I don't even get like moral support of them wanting me to play with them. So it's just me and you at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast, all one word, Derek Hunter Podcast, where for $5 a month, you get 4 or 5 extra shows, depending on how many Saturdays there are. These ones have a twist. These ones are, like I finished the show the other day. The no holds barred, swearing, rudeness, just a general state of all the stuff I have to hold in all week in my writings and in my work. And now I let it go on Saturdays. I become Elsa from Frozen and I let it go. And it's glorious. It's glorious. You'll like, even if you don't like it, $5 a month, don't listen to it. You get other things. I put up pictures of the family and stuff up there as well. And once I figure out how the freaking video works over there, I'm going to start putting videos up there. I tried with one thing and it didn't work. So I got to spend some time trying to figure that out. Don't forget about AncientLifeOil.com either, your home for CBD oil. Promo code Derek gets you free fast shipping on top of the best CBD oil in the business. Okay, that's enough rambling. I mean, it's only 2 minutes worth of rambling, but let's get on with the program so we can get to the freaking weekend, okay? Let's do this thing. So much going on, so many things to talk about. Where to begin? Where to begin? Well, and a testament to what we've talked about earlier in the week, and what we just know to be true. We're going to not start with Afghanistan today. When you watch. By next week, Afghanistan will be, what? Is that where blankets come from? Because the media is losing interest in it. Even though there is a legitimate scandal there with the president calling their former president and telling him he needs to lie for U.S. domestic consumption, lest he not get the aid he desperately needs. It's absolutely everything that the Trump impeachment was, except it's a Democrat, and so nobody's even caring about it. But I want to talk about what's going on down in Texas, because you're going to hear a lot of hyperventilating about what's going on down in Texas. Don't you understand? It is now the dark days of pre-Roe v. Wade world down there. My goodness. Women are going to start dying in back alley abortions starting today. Today. That's what the world would have you believe. That's what the left would have you believe. First of all, can we all just stipulate that getting pregnant is as easy to avoid as getting hit by a train? I realize that might be controversial. Many of our friends on the left don't like to admit that, but there's really, as far as I could tell, there aren't that many ways to do it, to get pregnant. So if you don't engage in the activities, all of which end up with one particular, I'm not going to get into the science class aspect of it. There could be children listening, but you know, once you get down to the nitty gritty, there's something that has to happen for a pregnancy to occur. And if you don't do those things, or if you do those things with certain precautions being taken, the odds of you getting pregnant are less than the odds of you getting struck by lightning whilst being abandoned in Afghanistan by the Biden administration. It's just that simple. So what Democrats are actively upset about is that people who are acting irresponsibly, who are refusing to take responsibility, and therefore, you know, if you refuse to take responsibility, you are, by definition, acting irresponsibly. That people refusing to take responsibility for their own lives, they want the last resort. They want, because that's it. If you don't want to get pregnant, don't do the activities that are going to get you pregnant, that run risk of getting you pregnant. And then if you got to, if you just absolutely can't control yourself, if that's it, you know, I'll die if I don't do the activities that are going to get me pregnant, then take the precautions. There are both internal and external precautions that can be taken to lessen the prospect of your getting pregnant. Pretty simple. Pretty basic things, as you might expect. Anybody who was alive during the 90s remembers these things. We were told constantly, AIDS is coming to get you. Look out. AIDS will get you. There's AIDS right over there. It's right. It's AIDS is hiding under your bed. Look out. It's AIDS. So everything that they told you then applies to pregnancy, too. It's weird how that works. Except with AIDS, they were lying to you. Because they didn't want to stigmatize it. But with pregnancy, they're not lying to you. They're not actually saying it. With pregnancy, the AIDS lie is truth. Probably a better way to put it, more accurate way to put it. So there you go. If you don't want to get pregnant, there's surefire ways to avoid pregnancy. But again, what the Texas law does, it says once a heartbeat is detectable, then that's it. The child is considered is protected by the state. Think of that what you will. I don't care where you are on abortion. This is not some big screw you to irresponsible women. It is realistically, if you really want to get down to the brass tacks and crudeness of it all, is if you're an idiot who's out there sleeping around and not using any form of protection and you think you're pregnant, you got 6 weeks to make a decision. I mean, that's it. A heartbeat is detectable at 6 weeks. With modern technology, premature babies can survive at an incredibly low young age. So if you are out there, again, engaging in these activities, that there's really no ambiguity. Like, wow, I didn't know you could get pregnant from doing that. No, no, no. There's one way to do it. And if you do that, there's a possibility. So buy a home pregnancy test. If you're really hell-bent against being responsible in any way, shape, or form and taking any preventative measures beforehand, then buy a home pregnancy test and you've got 6 weeks to figure it out. Okay, so maybe don't do it the next day, but you know, the day after the next day or a couple of days later, certainly within that week, you'll be able to know and you'll be able to tell. And if your fetish in life is to have an abortion, you'll still be able to have an abortion. But if you can't make up your mind, if you can't act accordingly, if you go, well, I did have a lot of unprotected sex with a whole bunch of people, but I don't feel pregnant, so I don't think I have anything to worry about. And then 6 months later, you think, well, I've been really putting on the weight. Then you can't right now. And probably Texas will probably lose this going forward. But we're not forward yet. We're in the circumstances of now. That's the only time that really ever matters is now, because it's the only time that ever really exists. And you sit there and you go, why do we have to upend our legal system? Why do we have to have a complete and total freakout? And why do leftists, if they have the truth on their side, have to lie so gleefully about things if they have the truth on their side? Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III, she still has a Twitter account. And she took to her Twitter account this morning, just before noon. She said, Last night, the Supreme Court officially overturned 5 decades of settled law and permitted Texas's unconstitutional abortion ban to stand. Yes, they gutted Roe v. Wade without hearing arguments in a one-paragraph, unsigned 5-4 opinion issued in the middle of the night. Now, it's kind of funny that she, of all people, the mistress of Benghazi, would be concerned about inaction in the middle of the night. Of course, her family has a lot of action in the middle of the night. It just doesn't involve her. It all involves Bill and whatever side piece he's rocking that week. But that's beside the point. The idea that this was overturning Roe v. Wade is laughable. It's hilarious. The abortion groups, the pro-abortion groups, all said, we want an immediate stay against this Texas law. Yet nobody had been harmed by it. You can't really get a stay. They couldn't demonstrate harm, and it wasn't the state. The law is structured rather brilliantly to not empower the state to enforce it, but to empower individuals. Therefore, it is not an encroachment on the right to an abortion, to the extent it exists, by the state. Right? So there is no injunctive relief because the state is not doing anything. So the Supreme Court said, no, we can't do that. This is going back to the lower courts. And they are going to hear this case like every other case. It'll work its way up here right now. But we're not going to jump in and immediately say this law shall not stand while it is appealed, while it is litigated. It's the way it should be in a federalist society, where you have states making up their own laws. They're free to make up their own laws. Read the 9th and 10th Amendment. And if you don't like them, you can work your way up. If you say that they violate people's constitutionally protected rights, you can work your way up the court system. But the country is made up of 50 states. The country didn't make the states. The states made the country. So to get this bent out of shape about it is really good for, A, fundraising purposes, and I guarantee you, from just what I've seen so far today, the fundraising emails are flowing like roofies at Bill Cosby's house. Quaaludes, I guess I should say. And it's also going to be good for Democrats out in California who are trying to fight the recall of Gavin Newsom. Democrats aren't particularly bright. If something is going on in one state, they can't wrap their minds, or it's hard to wrap a vacuum around anything, but they can't wrap their minds around the idea that what's going on in Texas has no bearing on what's going on in California, right? Even if Texas were allowed, and we were allowed to have states make up their own laws, right? And Texas said, no abortions ever under any circumstances for anybody. That would impact exactly zero people in California under federalism. It just would. Even if Roe v. Wade, if the Supreme Court just said, Roe v. Wade is wrong and therefore is overturned, just randomly, and that was it, and Roe v. Wade was gone, it wouldn't impact anybody's ability in California to have an abortion. Period, end of story. California is as left-wing as they come, and they want more abortions. They want to bring in illegal aliens to have abortions, except for the fact that they want the kids to be born here because they want anchor babies. Then you can't deport the illegal aliens, so they're conflicted there. But it would not impact Californians' ability to have 5-6 abortions a year if they so wanted to. But people are dumb. They don't understand that. And Democrats recognize that their base is dumb, so they can whip people into a frenzy like Hillary Clinton going, oh, Roe v. Wade is gone now. It's all over. I wonder how many people will actually have an abortion scheduled for today and get up and read Hillary Clinton's tweets or tweets from the New York Times or Chris Hayes over at MSNBC, any of the, you name your leftist organization or individual, they read those tweets and they go, well, I guess I'm not going to the abortion clinic today. Can't do it. I wonder how many babies will be born because of the freak out of the left over. That's not a freak out. The fake freak out of the left. for fundraising purposes and to stir up their voters, because they do. They have an election coming up in Virginia soon. This will be a major issue there. I've never seen people more interested and more excitable about an issue that doesn't really impact them than a leftist when it comes to abortion. Honestly, you'd think they were all having abortion. You'd think that they just got pregnant on purpose to have an abortion. The way they get this so emotionally invested, so worked up personally about this stuff. But the fact of the matter is, nothing has changed for you unless you live in Texas. And the only thing that's changed in Texas is you got to make your mind up, really, inside of 6 weeks. I get it, but if you can't make your mind up in 6 weeks, then it's on you, isn't it? At some point in the process where you only really got there because you were wildly irresponsible, barring extraneous, horrible circumstances. The vast majority of abortions are not as a result of rape and incest. The vast, vast majority are not. So you can assume that 99%+ of the abortions are performed on people who simply maybe the condom broke. But otherwise, they're just wildly irresponsible people. It's that simple. They just did it. Oh, wait, I can get pregnant doing that? Or they're done on Jeffrey Toobin's girlfriends who he was able to browbeat into getting an abortion. I guess that could be upwards of 15 to 17% of abortions committed in the country every year. But again, unless you live in Texas, your life hasn't changed at all. If you live in Texas, your life has changed to the extent that you just gotta either do your business or get off the pot. Texas didn't ban abortion. Texas said you got a limited amount of time to figure it out. Once the fetus becomes viable, you're too late. Seems fair. Joe Biden is wildly upset over this because, as a devout Catholic, boy howdy does he love himself abortion. He released a statement today. So someone on the White House staff this morning woke Joe up and said, "Mr. President, we've got this statement for you to sign off on." And so the White House released this statement from President Joe Biden. No way he's ever strung together a coherent paragraph like this, but hey, what are you going to do? There's a reason he conducts most of his public appearances in writing. "The Supreme Court's ruling overnight is an unprecedented assault on a woman's constitutional rights under Roe v. Wade, which has been the law of the land for almost 50 years. By allowing a law to go into effect that empowers private citizens in Texas to sue health care providers, family members supporting a woman exercising her right to choose after 6 weeks, or even a friend who drives her to the hospital or clinic, it unleashes unconstitutional chaos and empowers self-anointed enforcers to have devastating impacts. Complete strangers will now be empowered to inject themselves into the most private and personal health decisions faced by a woman." Hey, sounds a lot like he's making a case against vaccine mandates, but he's not. "And it only, blah, 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 empowers, it actually incentivizes them to do so with the prospect of a $10,000 reward if they win their case. For the majority to do this without a hearing." There was no hearing. There's never a hearing in these things. I get it that Joe went to law school, but he never really practiced law. But there is no hearing. They were filing for an injunction. They filed briefs. That's it. "Rather than use its supreme authority to ensure justice could be fairly sought, the highest court of our land will allow millions of women in Texas in need of critical reproductive care to suffer." Oh, no. Suffer the consequences of their actions? "Suffer while courts sift through procedural complexities." The dissent by Chief Justice Roberts, Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan all demonstrate the error in the court's actions here powerfully, except that it's, you know, a dissent, it's a minority, they lost. Joe Biden then went on to say, I am directing the, he started a council on gender equity, because that's what he lives. So I am directing that council and the office of the White House counsel to launch a whole of government effort to respond to this decision, looking to see what steps the federal government can take to ensure that women in Texas have access to safe and legal abortions, as every good devout Catholic would do, right? He also wants to take your credit card and make sure that you pay for those abortions. It's a horrible, horrible thing that somebody who acts wildly irresponsibly should then have to be responsible for the money, the payment involved in taking care of what they deemed to have been wildly irresponsible. These people are insane. They're losing their damn minds. What's sad is it works on so many people. What's sad is this hyperventilating will work. There are people out there, normal people going, oh my God, women are not able to have, Roe v. Wade is overturned. I'm sorry, did that screw up your Labor Day plans? Were your Labor Day plans to go get knocked up and then have an abortion? Was that it? And now you're like, oh no, I was going to go to Austin to watch some bands play and get pregnant and have an abortion. And now if I can only do two of the three things, it was a trifecta weekend. I'm not going. But the idea, as Biden pointed out, as Hillary pointed out, and this is, the Roe v. Wade's been around for 50 years, almost 50 years. It's horrible, horrible. How dare the Supreme Court overturn this? There's another, that actually the Supreme Court overturns previous rulings all the time, and thank God they do. Now, you hear Joe Biden, you hear Hillary Clinton, you hear all these legal experts, Jeffrey Toobin, the legal expert, who over at CNN, you know, he's wearing pants, as far as I could tell. He was talking about this, too, that, well, this overturns precedent for 50 years. You just can't be overturning precedent, things like that. And then Jeffrey Toobin, oddly enough, went on to cite, well, this is especially overturning precedent of one of the court's two most famous decisions of the last century. The other being, and he said, Brown versus the Board of Education. You can't just overturn precedent like that. And by the way, this is popular and famous just like Brown. And you go, wait a second. Brown versus Board of Education. I know that one. And so you look it up and you go, wait, yeah, that's right. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school, but I can do math. Brown versus Board of Education. If you're citing Brown versus Board of Education in any way, shape, or form as an argument against the overturning of precedent by the Supreme Court, you've lost your argument. You lost your argument the second you started opening your mouth, because Brown versus Board of Education overturned a precedent that lasted more than 60 years. Called Plessy versus Ferguson. Plessy versus Ferguson allowed for the doctrine of the Democratic Party of separate but equal. Separate but equal is okay. Separate but equal education, separate but equal facilities for this, that, and the other thing. There's nothing inherently wrong or un-American or unconstitutional about separate but equal. That was what Plessy versus Ferguson found. Then you smash cut to, what year was Plessy versus Ferguson? 1896. Okay, 1896. And then 1954, about 60 years later, in comes a new Supreme Court with Brown versus Board of Education. And they said, no, separate but equal is not acceptable. Separate but equal is not constitutional. There is no separate. You're either an American or you're not an American, and we're all Americans, basically. And you cannot segregate, you cannot separate in public school settings in this case, but the ramifications rippled throughout society. It was the exact opposite of what these so-called legal experts like the President of the United States and Hillary Clinton and Jeffrey Toobin are saying, oh, we can't overturn precedent, my goodness. If we start overturning precedent, then things will be changed dramatically. Yeah, the Supreme Court gets a lot of things wrong. The Dred Scott decision, for example. that, you know, everybody knows that there was a statue in Baltimore, right near where I lived in Baltimore. There used to be a statue of Roger B. Taney. And it was kind of funny, Taney or Tanny, whatever. He's not around. He was unavailable for comment to correct the pronunciation of his name. But he wrote the Dred Scott decision. I always thought it was kind of funny as they were going PC crazy. I thought, this guy's right here and they're not doing anything to his statue. But eventually they got to his statue. And about 5 years ago, the then mayor of Baltimore had that statue secretly removed in the night, thereby ending all crime and murder in the city of Baltimore. And it has become the utopia that you hear about and read about in the papers today. But the Supreme Court decided then that no, slaves are property no matter where they are. This is the nutshell version of the Dred Scott case. Was Dred Scott was a slave. It was a foregone conclusion. He was going to be freed anyway. But his slave owner was moving to a free state or free territory. And the suit was, hey, if you move out of a slave territory with slaves, you don't get to keep your slaves. And the Supreme Court essentially ruled, no, property's property. Wherever you go, you don't lose the rights to your property, even if they're slave human beings. That's a horrible, horrible decision. It was overturned eventually, but it was the decision of the Supreme Court. So again, things that the Supreme Court do don't make them righteous or right or constitutional simply because the Supreme Court did them. Roe v. Wade creating some mythical right to an abortion did not make the Constitution say, well, you have a right to an abortion. What's funny is if Democrats really believed half the garbage that they put forward, they had more than 50, well, almost 50 years. They had 48 years in which they could have passed a federal law. They could have codified it in law. If they were afraid, as they say, that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned at any time, and oh my goodness, it will set us back to the dark ages and women dying and back alley abortions. There were times when they controlled all of government. Like right now, they control all of government. Barack Obama's first 2 years, they controlled all of government. Bill Clinton's first 2 years, they controlled all of government, so on and so forth. Jimmy Carter, they controlled all of government too. They could have easily passed an abortion bill. They might have even been able to pass, ram through an abortion amendment to the Constitution. Who knows? But they absolutely could have codified abortion in federal statute. They didn't. Why wouldn't they? This is so damned important to them. They love abortion. Oh my goodness. They absolutely love abortion. Why didn't they do it? Because they raise a ton of money off of abortion. They make a ton of money off of abortion, off the fear of Roe v. Wade being overturned. They get a lot of votes off the fear of Roe v. Wade being wiped out. And again, if Roe v. Wade were actually overturned, if the Supreme Court yesterday had said, that's it, Roe v. Wade is no more, poof, it's gone, what you would have is 50 different states free, what a novel concept, free to make whatever laws they so chose about abortion. That's right, 50 different states. Now, the odds of most of those states outlawing abortion completely, I would say is zero. Odds of any of those states outlawing abortion completely, I would also peg it close to zero. What you might see, maybe a state like Alabama or Mississippi would. I'm not calling them backwoods. I'm just saying that they have an evangelical presence in the elected officials that most states don't, even states controlled by Republicans. They might be able to do it. Would they try? I don't know. Because again, they'd be giving up a weapon of fundraising and campaigning and all of that. So who knows? But other states, Maryland here is not going to outlaw abortion. Pennsylvania is not going to outlaw abortion. Michigan's not going to outlaw abortion. Texas didn't outlaw abortion. It said 6 weeks, make up your mind. Other states have said 3 months, make up your mind. Other states have said 6 months, make up your mind. Those have all been ruled unconstitutional, but because of the way that the Texas law is written, it's not the state imposing the sanctions against violations of this law, and therefore it is a legal loophole. Brilliantly done. The left would do this in a heartbeat if they had the ability to do it. It'll be adjudicated. Ultimately, I suspect that Texas will lose, if I had to guess. But until then, there is no legal precedent to justify enjoining this law. And so the Supreme Court didn't. They actually showed restraint. The left freaking out about it tells you where the left is, that they don't really like judicial restraint. They want judicial activism, and that it didn't happen in their direction this time is them screaming and crying, oh, it's judicial activism on the right. No, it's not. It's the judicial branch saying, we don't have anything to rule on here, all right? There's a legal process. You don't get to take cuts in line just because it's something you deeply care about. And oh, by the way, you should probably get a life if you really deeply care about this. In other news, this was a fascinating story to me because it seems like this would be a bigger story. It seems like this would be much more important. And this again falls under the if a Republican were president, especially if that Republican were named Donald Trump, but really any Republican would do under these circumstances. The editor-in-chief of Axios.com was on MSNBC this morning. And he was on MSNBC this morning at 5:55 a.m. And you think, well, why are they? And he got a pretty big story. They got a pretty big story over there at Axios. And you think, with this exclusive, this should be a pretty damning important story that the network, I doubt the network will cover it the rest of the day. I honestly doubt the network will cover it. But they covered it at 5:55 this morning. So they can say, we checked that box. What more do you want us to do? You want us to beat this horse dead all the time? We don't know anything else, so this is enough. Now, what is this story? Well, the editor-in-chief of Axios.com is a guy named Nicholas Johnson. I want you to hear what he told the gang over there. They have the Morning Joe gang. This is even before Morning Joe. This is a show called Way Too Early, which is an indication that the ratings expectations are a little bit low. They're a little bit low, to say the least. It's MSNBC, so ratings expectations are already a little bit low. But they're even lower now when you say it's way too early. Because you can imagine the meeting. Why isn't anybody watching this show? Because it's way too early. Oh, all right. Well, then there you go. It's right there in the name. This is Nicholas Johnson of Axios on something nobody's even talking about. Illegal alien children just kind of disappearing.
Is missing migrants. The Biden administration has lost track of thousands of unaccompanied children who came to the border earlier in the year. This is Well, something we found at Axios is reporting this morning on the rights of a FOIA request of documents my colleague Steph Kipe got from the Biden administration detailing about the check-in calls that the government is supposed to do after these children arrive. They're processed by the government and they're given to guardians, sponsors, or family members. Within months after those transitions, the government is supposed to call and check in on them. And what we found is about the 15,000 unaccompanied minors that cross the border that are subject to these kind of check-ins, 5,000 of them can't be located. It speaks to the massive problem that still continues on the border as far as dealing with these unaccompanied minors, processing them and figuring out where to place them and make sure they're taken care of.
That's enough. Don't you love that? Don't you love that story? Oh, yeah, look at 15,000 of them, 5,000, they don't know where they are. Did you know that our government, quote-unquote, safeguard involved? We'll give you a call in a few months to make sure you're still alive. Give us a number, child who doesn't speak our language, child who's illiterate in your own language. We'll just take this number that's been pinned to your underpants by your horrible, abusive parent who sent you on a 2,000-mile-long march, and we'll call this one in 3 to 6 months to make sure you're okay. What could possibly go wrong with anybody, especially children without responsible adults near them, inside of 3 to 6 months? Nothing. If something is going to go wrong, it's going to take 8 months minimum. So the first 3 to 6 months, you got plenty of time to check in on them, make sure they're okay. This would be the story of the day, even in light of Afghanistan, even in light of the Texas abortion law. If we had a Republican president, this would be all anybody could talk about. The Axios story itself, it's exclusive. Government can't reach 1 in 3 released migrant kids. Kind of a big deal, don't you think? When the Trump administration was having difficulty finding the delinquent parents to reunite them with their kids, that was a huge story. We can't locate the parents of these children. Yeah, because they marched across the border with a kid doesn't mean they're their parent. Doesn't mean they actually give a damn. The goal, the objective was to get across the border, and then our stupid liberal policies that Democrats set in place said, you can't get rid of somebody with kids. And so the parent was released and took off because it wasn't their kid. It was like a rent-a-kid. Give me a kid, I'll get across the border, and then to hell with it. And they're shocked. Every time that somebody is like a really just a horrible, degenerate human being, the Democrats are like, huh, somebody's doing really bad things to exploit loopholes in the system. Like, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Welcome to reality, you dumb asses. Figure it out. People do horrible things. And people breaking the law have a higher frequency of being horrible people doing horrible things. Just throwing that out there. The Axios story, U.S. government has lost contact with thousands of migrant children released from its custody, according to data obtained by Axios through a Freedom of Information Act request. Roughly 1 in 3 calls made to released migrant kids or their sponsors between January and May went unanswered, raising questions about the government's ability to protect minors after they're released to family members or others in the U.S. Now, don't you love that? We have a burgeoning, booming child sex trafficking trade happening around the world. And our government, under this administration, under explicit orders from this president, has said, process children through as quickly as possible and get them to whomever they're promised to. Again, these kids don't speak English. They barely speak Spanish. They certainly don't read Spanish. They've been uneducated in their home cesspool countries and therefore are easily trained and conditioned to go along with whatever somebody who is as less than pure intent could get them to say. Or maybe they'll say, I'll hurt mommy and daddy if you say anything to anybody. Now you go up there and you give them this number and you say that's your Uncle Johnny. And they'll send you to Uncle Johnny. And then Uncle Johnny is just the next link in the chain as they ship them off to God knows where. Not saying that's happened with all of them. I'm saying the idea that that could happen is a real possibility. And the fact that our government doesn't have any safeguards in place to guard against that is wildly disturbing and incredibly irresponsible. Something for which politicians, were a Republican in charge of this mess, would be beating themselves to death against each other, trying to get in front of a camera, up to a microphone to decry if this were a Republican. It's not a Republican. So I suspect that Adam Schiff and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Eric Swalwell and all the rest of the dim bulbs over there on the good ship Lollipop won't say a damn thing about this. They won't even bother to have a congressional hearing, I bet you, because they don't care. You'd have to care. You'd have to at least see a benefit in pretending to care to host a hearing. And Democrat Party activists and voters don't want a hearing on anything negative that is going on at the southern border. If all of these 5,000 kids have been sold off into slavery and shipped off to Asia on cargo ships out of the Seattle port, Democrats don't want to know about it. They don't want to hear about it, and they don't want to stop it. Because, look, yes, 1 in 5 children coming in, or 1 in 3 children coming in, was shipped off in the child sex trade. But that means that 2 others got in, right? That means that 2 others are here and will eventually be able to vote. So that's all they care about, period, end of story. Quote, "This is very dismaying," said Mark Greenberg, who oversaw the unaccompanied minors program during the Obama administration and was briefed on Axios's finding. "This is very dismaying." Wow. that's not even disturbing. You couldn't even swear. You're talking to a print reporter. You can swear and they can clean it up in post. But no, this is very dismaying. If large numbers of children and sponsors aren't being reached, that's a very big gap in efforts to help them. Oh, well, there's the problem. That's the angle that Democrats kind of care about. It's difficult to help them. If we can't reach out to them, we can't sign them up for food stamps. If we can't find them, we can't sign them up to vote once they're given their legal status, once they're given citizenship. That's your priority? We can't help them? If they need help, that's one thing. Illegal aliens, you go to certain neighborhoods wherever you live, and suddenly the billboards turn to Spanish, the signs turn to Spanish. Now, I don't speak Spanish, but I suspect that the ones with the lawyers up there are all about, "We're going to fight against your deportation, and we're going to help you, and we will help you," and the ones with the government seal, they're all about, "Call us, and we'll give you free stuff." I don't think there's a lack of help for the sweet, sweet, nourishing illegal alien out there. American citizens, they can go to hell. But the sweet, sweet, nourishing illegal alien, who are both our moral and cultural betters, they have the red carpet rolled out for them by one political party. The other political, and they just view anybody else, that political party, as a racist, as a jackass, as a dumbass. Quote, "While we make every effort to voluntarily check on children after we unite them with parents or sponsors." Now, you got to love that sponsor. Implicit in that is the parents are down in Guatemala or whatever, and they know somebody up here in Boise, Idaho, also probably illegal. And they say, "I've agreed to sponsor your child. So go ahead, march him 2,000 miles up there. I totally won't sell him into the sex trade. I totally won't abuse him in any way, shape, or form." And the parents do it. And the federal government comes in and, "Okay, is your parents here?" "No, no, no. Here's a phone number. This is my sponsor." "Who's your sponsor?" "No idea. Never met him before, but they've contacted my parents via email. And don't worry, they've pinky sworn virtually to not sell me into, you know, the underage sex slave trade. So go ahead and get me on the next flight up to Boise, please, so we can get this show on the road." Or sponsor. If it's a sponsor, that means that there's no parent in this country, or at least no parent that wants the child. Of course, it also means there's no parent in their home country that wants the child either, which would be why I would say just take them all, strip the parents of their parental rights, and put the kids up for adoption. If the parents then say, "Wait a second, don't do that," say, "All right, we'll reunite you back in your home country where you're supposed to be legally. Otherwise, you will never see your kid again." I think that's a fair trade. I think that would work. Anyway, "While making every effort to voluntarily check on children after we reunite them with parents or sponsors and offer certain post-unification services, we no longer have legal oversight once they leave our custody," an HHS spokesperson told Axios, adding that many sponsors do not return phone calls or do not want to be reached out to because they're here illegally, and many of them are bulk children landing strips and abusers and God knows what. Either it's slave labor here, cheap labor here, the sex trade here, or the sex trade internationally. It's probably not a 60% problem, but even if it's a 10% problem, how can our government sit idly by and let that happen? Because Democrats don't care. During the first 5 months of the year, care providers made 14,600 required calls to check in with migrant minors released from shelters run by the Department of Health and Human Services. Those minors typically were taken in by relatives or other vetted sponsors. I'm sure they're absolutely vetted. We're not vetting the immigrants here, for God's sakes. Why would we vet the sponsors when the system is completely overwhelmed and the orders from the Biden administration are just get people out of here? I'm sure they're all taking their vetting very seriously. In 4,890 of those instances, workers were unable to reach either the migrant or the sponsor. The percentage of unsuccessful calls grew from 26% in January to 37% in May, the data provided to Axios showed. There is another possibility, one that is probably even more of a probability than the child sex trade. It's that the system is being played, that none of these people really give a damn. They're giving fake names. They have fake sponsors that are so-called vetted. And the ultimate goal is just to get them in the country. Once they're in the country, they're here. And everybody disappears. The so-called sponsor then gets a new disposable cell phone, gives that number out to somebody through the coyote drug trafficking tube that brings illegal aliens here and says, now I'm Uncle Julio. I will totally sponsor a kid. Just make sure that they're spending $5,000 to get brought to the United States. I want $1,000 of that or $100, $500 of that. I have 7 different cell phones. I'll totally be their vetted Uncle Julio. And then as soon as they are cleared and off the plane that we paid for their trip, that cell phone is snapped in half, a la The Wire, thrown in the garbage, and a new disposable cell phone is purchased. Nothing suspicious about that, because the government, even when they find out that fully one-third of their information is fraudulent and gone, and these people can't be tracked, the government says, well, we did all we could. I mean, what more are we supposed to do? Our jobs? Well, of course, the better course of action would be to stop the nonstop procession across the southern border in the first place. Then you don't have to worry about what becomes of this sweet, 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 nourishing illegal alien, child, adult, or whatever, once they get into the United States. I realize that's the crazy racist option, but it's also the best. And, oh, by the way, the one that comports with the law. If that matters anymore, which I don't think it does. There is COVID news as well. What with the holiday weekend here and everybody getting all excited, I want to play you a clip of the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, talking on one of those, I think it was CBS, it doesn't matter, they're all interchangeable. And she casually just drops in, oh, by the way, if you're not vaccinated, don't nobody go nowhere. You just stay home. Listen to her, because you really, it is, it's like she's trying to make things worse. That's the only thing I can think of.
Actually articulated that people who are fully vaccinated who are wearing masks can travel, although given where we are with disease transmission right now, we would say that people need to take these risks into their own consideration as they think about traveling. First and foremost, if you are unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling.
First and foremost, if you're unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling. Now, if you're unvaccinated, there's a good percentage of the unvaccinated who... There's a percentage that say, I'm not going to take something unless it's proven. I want more proof. I want more testing, whatever. There's another part, you're never going to tell me what to do, and so I'm not ever going to get vaccinated. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. But that percentage of, to hell with you, I'm not going to let you tell me what to do, is pretty dug in. And by saying, don't travel, I bet you there are some people who, upon hearing her say, if you're not vaccinated, don't travel, There are some people who said, well, to hell with you. Now I'm going to travel. Now I'm going around. The people they're trying to influence are the ones least likely to give a damn what they have to say and are more likely to act in the opposite direction of what they're trying to get people to act out of spite. That really is just the truth. And to not understand that at this point, like, you've been being a jackass for 6 months. Get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. What are you doing? You're a moron. Get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. Now maybe you should try a different approach. It's not like, well, we could be a jackass with an accent. We could be a jackass with being the jackass is not going to help. Telling people to stay home on a holiday weekend is not going to work. Well, Gail Walensky or Rochelle Walensky says we should not go anywhere. So we're just going to hermetically. It's a Netflix weekend. Yay. No, not if you want results. Stop treating people like they're idiots. Because there is an idiot in this equation, and it's usually, generally, and almost unfailingly, the Democrat bureaucrat. Meanwhile, podcaster Joe Rogan, he's apparently the most popular podcaster in the world. I remember him when he was on a show called News Radio, and then he was apparently a stand-up comic, and he used to host Fear Factor. I mean, he's the guy who made people eat bugs and stuff until they finally crossed the line with a bull extract, shall we say. And they canceled the show. But he's now an MMA commentator and does exceedingly long podcasts. He seems like a decent enough guy, but he's very libertarian. And therefore, he is not a liberal. Therefore, he must be destroyed in any way, shape, or form, and anything he says is bad, bad, bad. He announced in an Instagram video or whatever, one of those things, because nothing happens unless you make a video about it in life. Did you really get out of bed this morning? Do you have a video of it posted on social media? Because maybe you didn't, and I don't think anybody will believe that you did get out of bed this morning unless you posted a video of it. And did you have breakfast? Because I didn't see a picture, so you probably didn't eat. God, we're becoming just the nation of absolute narcissists. But Joe Rogan posted a video saying that he's doing comedy someplace, and he came back and Saturday he started feeling bad. Sunday he felt like garbage and got tested, and turns out he had COVID. Now, he's been resisting and has not gotten the vaccine, but he had COVID. So what he did, why he felt the need to tell the world, he went to his doctor. I assume it's his doctor. And he got everything. He took a Z-Pack. He was taking, now I don't understand, Z-Packs are 5 days or 7 days or something like that. And how by Wednesday he was able to be done with the Z-Pack or whatever, but doesn't seem right to me. But he said he took a vitamin drip and all these other things. And amongst the things that he did take, because he said he threw everything at it, including the kitchen sink, was he took ivermectin. Ivermectin. Now, I don't know why ivermectin is supposed to work. I don't know if ivermectin works. There's been no study of whether or not ivermectin works, not any serious peer-reviewed study yet. But upon hearing ivermectin, it's not a deadly drug. It is not. When I took heroin, and boy howdy, did my COVID clear up right away. No, or I snorted just enough poison, rat poison. Cyanide, just a little dab of cyanide was able, I didn't die from it, and it cured my COVID. No, nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that, and nobody should be listened to if they say that. But ivermectin is being portrayed by the media, and this is how you can tell that the media is on the side of not you. On the side of not you. On the side of the powerful. Here is how National Public Radio framed it in their headline, then their tweet today about it. Quote, the podcast host Joe Rogan, who has dismissed COVID vaccines, said he tested positive and is taking a cocktail of unproven treatments, including ivermectin, a deworming drug for cows that the FDA warns people should not ingest. Okay, now if you didn't know any better, you'd think, well, that's not cool. You shouldn't be taking cow dewormers. In certain stories, like NBC News, it was a horse dewormer. And other things, it was a veterinary medicine for deworming. It was, depending on the animal and the outlet, they all have their own version of this story. It's horrible, and don't ingest it. It will kill you. It should not. And NPR responded to their own tweet, said, no, you should not ingest ivermectin, a drug formulated for cows and horses to treat parasites. No, it's not proven to prevent or treat COVID. That last part is true. We don't know because nobody's bothered to look into it. The FDA is urging people to stop ingesting the livestock version, which can cause nausea, neurological disorders, and severe hepatitis. Ivermectin is a type of drug. It's found in different forms. It's found in different things. It's a topical cream in some things. In other cases, it's an ingestible medicine. It is, originally, I believe, was created to treat animals, and it's apparently very effective in getting rid of parasites in animals. It also does the same in humans, though. Formulated differently, I feel you wouldn't go to your vet and get the ivermectin, because ivermectin is actually also a human medicine, as most things are. Animals can take antibiotics, for example. I have administered many an antibiotic to a sick cat over my lifetime, and I suspect I'll have to again, even though I hope I don't have to. But you wouldn't take that if you were sick, even though they're the same types of antibiotics, and in some cases may well be human antibiotics. They're just formulated differently at different strengths, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a little bit of a difference between the mass of a human being and the mass of an animal. It just is. Some cases, like cats, they're smaller. In some cases, like horses, they're bigger. So talk to your doctor. But ivermectin for human beings has been used for a long time to treat a great many things, including river blindness, which is now apparently all the rage. River blindness. It's, in fact, ivermectin is so effective at treating river blindness that the medical team who created that, who found that, who discovered that, got us to this point, won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Not the Nobel Prize in veterinary medicine, not the Nobel Prize in getting suckers to poison themselves, although it's only a matter of time before one of those comes along, but the actual Nobel Prize in medicine. It's weird how that works, and it's weird how every major media outlet either is too stupid to know that or doesn't care. They are not reporting it. There is not one news outlet that I've seen thus far who has accurately reported that ivermectin, while unproven for treatment of COVID, is not some sort of weird horse treatment. That it has multiple uses, including for human beings. And that's the problem. It's hydroxychloroquine all over again. Everybody remembers what happened with hydroxychloroquine. The drug had been around for 60 plus years. People are taking it regularly. Americans have been taking it their adult lives if you have lupus or other disorders that it treats. And suddenly, because Donald John Trump said, we're looking at hydroxychloroquine, it looks promising as a treatment for COVID, suddenly the media said, no, 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 this stuff is poison. You might as well be snorting Raid if you're going to take this awful, awful poison, hydroxychloroquine. Nobody should take that. It's a devil's sweat. Do not touch this stuff. And there are people out there, I bet you there are people out there who stopped taking their lupus medicine. They stopped taking their hydroxychloroquine because they're like, well, Rachel Maddow just told me this stuff will kill me. I can't keep taking this. How these people live with themselves, I'll never understand. And I don't want to understand. because it's a special kind of evil, for being honest, that allows people to do these sorts of things. There are plenty of ways to point out that there is no study, there is no proof, there's nothing other than anecdotal evidence that ivermectin helps treat COVID. And Joe Rogan, his existence, he released his video saying, I feel great. Now it's Wednesday and I feel awesome. And you're like, oh, some people will say, see, it's because of ivermectin. And others will say, no, it's the overdose on vitamins and the this, that, and the other thing. Whatever. No, what it mostly is that COVID has a 99.7% survivability rate, particularly for people who are in good shape. And Joe Rogan does what all day? He works out. And he does a long podcast. That's it. That's his job, is to continue looking good because he's in, stay in shape because he's, he can't have somebody with a gravitational pull commenting on mixed martial arts fights. It just wouldn't look good. Like having an anorexic person do the hot dog eating contest. It's just, and not really a good mix there. There's too much of a disjoiner there. So maybe Joe Rogan recovered so quickly from COVID-19 because most people who've had it didn't realize they had it. And the vast majority of people who had it recover from COVID-19, particularly if they are not morbidly obese. So, and both sides of this, you can't say, well, ivermectin, see, ivermectin works. Joe Rogan is very fit. Presumably he has a good diet and a good immune system. He's a younger guy. He's in his 40s or 50s or whatever. He's in good shape. So that's probably why he's okay. I think it was stupid on his behalf to say, I've taken ivermectin, but it was also stupid on the media's behalf going, oh, ivermectin, that'll kill you. That stuff is awful. It'll kill you. Everybody just needs to calm the hell down and act like there's supposed to be adults around here. Are there no adults around? Am I the only adult left on the planet? Are we that episode of The Twilight Zone where Burgess Meredith and his books and his glasses and I'm all that's left and he breaks his glasses? Much rather be Night of the Comet, which is a cool 80s movie if you have never seen it. Look that up, because at least there are chicks there. I want to shift gears here. Remember I told you a couple of, I guess it's got to be like a month, 2 months ago, back in June, about the transsexual or transgender or whatever the hell it is. Whatever, I don't care what the proper term is, and I'm not politically correct. But to sit there and they were going out at the Wii Spa out in California, and there were women and girls who were upset that this dude who allegedly identified as a woman was running around with all the bits and pieces hanging out at a women's only, you know, around underage kids. And there was audio, the staff at Wii, spelled W-I, the staff at Wii Spa was, instead of going, hey, dude, maybe put that thing away. At least at a minimum that, hey, dude, maybe put that away, let alone get the hell out of here. This is the women's area. But no, the staff was very super woke, and they were like, no, no, no. Don't you understand that that guy, who in no way, shape, or form is making any effort whatsoever in societal terms to appear as a woman, says that they're a woman, and therefore they're a woman. That's just how science works. What you're seeing is an outward projection from their lower midsection. That's all in your mind. It's not really there. And it's not getting bigger and engorged right now as we talk. No, it's all in your mind, because that person that that thing is attached to that isn't really there is a woman because they said they are. Well, that video went viral. The Wii Spa was mocked. The whole thing was ridiculous. And now we have an update. In the words of... I should save them till the end, but in the words of Paul Harvey, the late, great Paul Harvey, now you'll know the rest of the story. The New York Post today In June, a group of women complained that a person who identified as female exposed their penis at the Wii Spa in Los Angeles. The incident led to months of sometimes violent protests, with media outlets declaring it an example of bias against transgendered, or even that it didn't happen. Slate said that it was a transphobic host. Hoax. I'm sorry, not host. I'm probably the transphobic host, but it was a transphobic hoax. But Monday, meaning just this past Monday, charges of indecent exposure were discreetly filed against the serial sex offender for the Wii Spa incident following an investigation by the Los Angeles Police Department. What? You mean the women weren't, you know, arrested and shipped off to Gitmo to be re-educated? There's more to this story than the superficial, superfluous garbage the left was spewing. Sources with knowledge of the case, but not authorized to speak publicly, say four women and a minor girl came forward to allege that Darren A.G. Merger, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, prisoner number 7431299, probably by now, was partially erect in the women's section of the Wii Spa. Besides being a suspect in the case, Meranger is facing multiple felony charges of indecent exposure over a separate incident in Los Angeles. Well, you know, that dude, he just can't be contained, so to speak. Meranger, who spoke exclusively to the Post, denies the allegations and says that she is actually the victim of transphobic harassment. Dude's a dude. On June 23rd, several women confronted staff at the Wii Spa in Los Angeles' Koreatown over accusations that a person exposed male genitalia in the women's section. Video of the interaction became blah, 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 went viral. Now, it turns out the person that they were complaining about was what? A serial sex offender. Huh? Can't be. Somebody who exposed themselves rather regularly, it turns out. Who could have seen this coming? Now, I wonder, out in California, you get to go to the prison of your declared gender. So this could be great. If his thing is whipping it out in front of the ladies, then he could get a captive audience pretty soon for, what, 2 to 3 years? Maybe? You can't make this stuff up. Only in California. And you sit there and you go, well, why in the hell is things so bad in California? That's proof of why things are so bad in California. That's why there's a recall election. I don't know if Gavin Newsom will be recalled. I know Gavin Newsom should be recalled. I know that any state with this kind of stupidity going on in it deserves to have its entire government recalled and replaced. Now, speaking of stupidity and California, this story is a couple days old, but it's worth repeating. Sirhan Sirhan. It was before my time, but Sir is a name that I even know. Sirhan Sirhan is the guy who killed Robert Kennedy. You know, he was running for president in 1968. Probably going to win the Democratic nomination anyway. I don't know if the country would have elected him, but because he was pretty far lefty. But now his assassin, the family wants him out, which tells you they maybe didn't like daddy all that much. Fox News story. Robert F. Kennedy's assassin was granted parole by a California board Friday after two of his sons said they support his release, a decision that still needs to be approved by the governor. This is going to be interesting. How does Gavin Newsom think this will play in the election? Letting out RFK's assassin will appeal to some Democrats because they just want all prisoners out and anybody. And Sirhan Sirhan is off-white, so he's a victim of society or something. On the other hand, they absolutely loved RFK. And this guy killed him. So do you let that guy's killer out? What do you do? How do you do it? It's a tough tightrope. Which one will Gavin Newsom do? You can count on Gavin Newsom doing whatever it is that Gavin Newsom believes will give him the most votes. Sirhan Sirhan gunned down Kennedy, then a Democratic U.S. Senator from New York and brother of President John F. Kennedy in 1968 at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, moments after delivering a victory speech in the pivotal California primary. He was convicted of first-degree murder. Sirhan, a Christian Palestinian from Jordan, said he was angry at Kennedy for his support of Israel. Ah, yes. Leftists were insane even back then. This was his 16th attempt at parole. 16th time's the charm. Quote, I would never put myself in jeopardy again, he told the parole board from a San Diego County prison where he appeared for the virtual proceedings. You have my pledge. I will always look to safety and peace and nonviolence. He shot a whole bunch of people that day trying to kill and killing RFK. He just kind of shot wildly. And he promises not to do it. He pinky swore again. I will never, after the murder I've committed, I will not murder again. And the parole board said, well, I'm convinced. And his kids said, yeah, you know what? We didn't really know our dad. And so go ahead and go. No, you cut off my dad. On an on-ramp, on a freeway, I'm going to haunt your children. I'm going to dislike your family forever. But no, you can kill a Kennedy, and they're like, eh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So insane. Speaking of insane, now we go to a land down under to find out what's going on in Australia. I've been giving you updates on Australia for the past, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. Because each time you hear an update from Australia, it's like it's crazier and it's crazier and it's crazier. And you think, this can't be real. This cannot be. And it is. It's all too real what's going on in Australia. And you know there are liberals in this country just drooling over the prospect of, oh, if only we had this kind of power. If only we could do these sorts of things. Good Lord, they're envious of the people down under who just snap. We got one new case of COVID. Let's go into complete lockdown. You're not allowed to leave your house. Last week I played for you, or maybe it was earlier this week, the news report of if you're good and if you're fully vaccinated and numbers stay low in 2 weeks, the residents of one Australian state will be allowed to leave their homes for up to 1 hour to get some exercise, only if they're fully vaccinated. But they have to stay within 5 kilometer radius of their house. And the reporters were like, and this is a really good day for liberty in Australia. People will be able to go outside. It's nuts. Well, now they're back with two bits of insanity. This time, these speak for themselves. The first one speaks for itself. Let's listen to it.
People in Sydney are already looking forward to some extra freedom. From tomorrow, those in the 12 hotspot zones will be able to have unlimited exercise in line with the current curfew. People in those areas previously restricted to just 1 hour.
Yeah, they're going to, starting in Sydney, you'll be able to get unlimited exercise as long as you're in bed or in home by the 7 p.m. curfew. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m., you're not allowed to leave your house. But between those hours, when you are allowed, permitted by your government to leave your house, you can now have unlimited exercise. You got to wear a mask while you do it. But congratulations, residents of Sydney's 12 hotspots. You are slowly being furloughed from house arrest. Now we come to this one. Say, you know, love in the time of cholera. What about love in the time of COVID? If you were in a relationship but not yet married, apparently in Australia, in certain parts of Australia, you weren't allowed to marry. Forget about it. Now they're going to let you get married again. If you think that sounds stupid, it does. It is. This next report not only talks about that you can get married again by the government, but you can only start getting married again under very specific and explicit circumstances. You know, you thought you had a tough time limiting your guest list to 200 people or however many people you had at your wedding. Be thankful you do not live in Australia.
And changes to weddings also take effect tomorrow.
Yes, good news for those planning to get hitched, Michael, with a small service including the wedding party as well as up to five guests allowed from tomorrow. Now, a wedding party can consist of the couple, two witnesses, a celebrant and a photographer. The only hitch for lovebirds is that you can't have an after party or a reception. And of course, residents of Greater Sydney can't travel to regional New South Wales for a wedding.
Don't you love it? Yeah, the only you can get married again, but you can only have five people and a wedding party. But then they say the wedding party consists of a witness, and then, so you can have three people and then five people, and you can't have a party afterwards. And oh, they have to be from your relative geographic region because you can't travel in Australia. So if you like mom and dad are in a different state or too far away geographically, they just didn't make the cut. Sorry. But good news, you can get married again. It's the wedding of your dreams. If you're like Howard Hughes, I suppose it's the wedding of Howard Hughes' dream. You mean I can get married and not have to shake anybody's hand and not be around anybody at all ever? Why, I love it. Let's do it. This is Australia. This is, you know, you think, well, they're free. They're free. They're just like, they're not free. They're not like us at all. They're like us in the sense that they speak English. That's it. That's as close as they come to us. They are, if it was even tried in this country, there would be just absolute hell to pay. Riots, protests, everything. And it should be. And our politicians are pretty stupid. Some of them in liberal states have tried stuff similar to this. But for the most part, they recognize that we are a free people who relish that freedom, and we're not going to play this game with our liberties and these leftist lunatics. But Australia, man, land down under. Keep them down there. We'll take your movies, we'll take your good actors and actresses, and that's it. We don't really want it. Your politics, we don't want your bugs. We don't want anything else. Just stay down there. You can keep the koalas. Yeah, they're high all the time anyway. And you can have the kangaroos. We're good. We're good. Stay away. Lastly today, for all of you who are children of the... Well, I guess you have to be a child of the 60s to have been raised in the 70s. Or, well, if you were the disco stew of your high school, your childhood is coming back into focus. ABBA, that's right. ABBA with the first B backwards. I think the first A was backwards too, but it's sort of, it doesn't matter because you can't tell. But they've reunited. It's got a lot of baby boomers in my Twitter timeline. Very excited. New York Post writing, ABBA is back and hoping you'll take a chance on them. After a 40-year hiatus, the Swedish pop foursome has reunited for all the dancing queens out there and will release a new album alongside a virtual concert. I'll admit, there are a couple of ABBA tunes that I find catchy. Waterloo, I like it. I'm not going to turn it off if it comes on the radio. I'd mostly wonder why I'm listening to music instead of a book on tape, but I'm not going to turn it off. But really, I speak, even though I'm not a big, not an ABBA hater or anything, but I'm not an ABBA head or whatever ABBA fans were called. I think I speak for everybody on the planet who goes, we don't want your new record. Right? We're not interested in your new record. You're all in your 70s. The ages range from 71 to 76. We don't want you to rock something new, because it's going to suck. No offense, it's going to be terrible. We just want you to play the hits, okay? That's what we want. Learn from Paul McCartney. He plays one or two new songs, and but he's got to like, all right, here comes a new song, but right after it, I'm going to do Hey Jude. So suffer for 3 minutes, and then you'll get 7 minutes and 11 seconds of Hey Jude, and that's a fair trade. But we don't want to hear new ABBA records. Nobody wants to hear it. And then I see a picture of them. Now, because every picture associated with this story, it's been around for a couple of days. Rumors they might be regrouping. Every picture of them is from when they were together. And maybe they haven't been together but since then. Who knows? But then I saw a picture of what I believe is their new album. Their new album cover is called Voyage. And they are dressed up in what looks like, it's not a virtual reality suit, it's more like a motion capture suit. You know, when somebody's playing a monkey, and so they put the thing with the little bulbs all, the suit with the bulbs all over them so that they can run around and jump, and then the computer can recreate that, and they can fill it in and make it. They're all wearing those things. Except, curiously, the women's hair skirts, which doesn't really make any sense. But they, I guess you can't say they aged horribly. They are in their mid to late 70s, by and large. So for that, if I get to the mid to late 70s, if I look as half as good as these people, I'd be all right with that. I'd rather have half their money than half their looks, though. But ABBA's back, baby. And you'll be able to get their virtual... Look, I'm just... A word of advice for every group out there that's thinking about reuniting. No matter how popular you were, no matter how good you were, no matter how awesome you may have been, how much your fans loved you, no one wants to hear anything new from you, especially if you haven't played in 40 years. They just want to hear the hits. Period. End of story. It's not too much to ask. Just play the hits. All right, that's enough. Let's start the weekend, okay? Let's have a couple of adult beverages and just not give a damn and hope that the president doesn't screw anything up. And that any worse than he already has. That'll be enough. That should be just enough for anybody's weekend. I hope you have a great weekend. The Curse Show will be live at 12:01 tonight Eastern Time at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Thanks to everybody who supports there. I appreciate the hell out of that more than you could know. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Try to get some free vitamin D from the sun. We'll reconvene here on Monday with the rerun and then on Tuesday with the new one. See you then. Thanks.
If you are unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling.